as ticks and the Lyme disease they carry continue to spread in Massachusetts and beyond, there's a central question. Why don't we know how to control ticks? The answer, a shortage of solid science. WBUR's Kerry Goldberg explains in part two of our Common Health blog series called Losing to Lyme.
It's a midsummer's day on Martha's Vineyard, and Tufts professor Sam Telford is tramping through the Chilmark woods, dragging a swath of white fabric along the underbrush, kind of like a white flag of surrender. He stops and lays it out on a rock and looks at it. When he sees a black speck move, he snags it with his tweezers and tucks the tiny tick into a little plastic vial closed off with rubber.
So just a brief lesson. I need these ticks to stay alive. We use this system where the rubber glove, the rubber dam here, you poke a hole in and you take the tick and you push it through the hole.
So you can stick dozens of ticks into the vial without needing to open the top. Clearly, Telford is an old hand at this. Over his 30 years of research on ticks and Lyme disease, he's been on countless trips to Martha's Vineyard to collect some of its abundant ticks. He and others have learned a lot over those 30 years about ticks and the diseases they carry, but he's also frustrated.
What have we done for Lyme disease? The incidence keeps increasing and increasing. The distribution keeps increasing and increasing. Everybody talks about doing something and they don't do anything. Yet we can do things.
We can do many things. Some of Telford's work shows the benefits of controlling deer because ticks suck deer blood as part of their life cycle. We can clear the underbrush where ticks like to hide, spray pesticides at the edges of our yards. The trouble is, we don't know the most effective recipe to reduce ticks and their diseases because the studies that would definitively answer that question have not been done. Scientists like Telford don't have the funding to run high-quality experiments on the complex tick ecosystems in our yards and woods.
The obstacle is financial, not intellectual.
Richard Osfeldt is senior scientist at the Carey Institute of Ecosystem Studies in New York.
Scientists have excellent ideas about how to tackle this massive problem, yet they lack sufficient support to turn those ideas into actual productive research.
Osfeldt says there have been several decades of scientific progress on figuring out the tick life cycle and how to hit its weak points.
But to do the field trials to test designs that will reduce ticks sufficiently to protect human health requires an enormous amount of money because we need to conduct research over large areas with many humans collecting ecological and epidemiological data and to do this over multiple years, and that is hugely expensive.
On the order of $10 million per study, he says, to do it right. His institute is working on a major study like that to determine once and for all whether treating people's yards can prevent tick-borne diseases. But it still needs to raise about $3 million for it. State Representative David Linsky of Natick is a leader on Lyme disease issues in Massachusetts.
Obviously, a lot of people are affected and negatively affected by Lyme disease. But they're not raising money to help Lyme disease the same way that the American Cancer Society does.
And even here, with estimates of tens of thousands of Lyme disease cases per year, Linsky says research funding is not likely to come at the state level.
I'd like to see the federal government, that is really the source of funding for extensive research, put some more money into Lyme disease.
Last year, the National Institutes of Health did funnel about $20 million into biomedical research on Lyme disease in areas like better diagnostic blood tests, but only about $1 million into ecology research on how to fight ticks.
Dragging, flagging, sweeping, all are allowed.
Tufts tick scientist Sam Telford is collecting fresh, young, wild ticks for more tick infection research he's planning and says he's optimistic the work will win federal funding, though guarded in his optimism. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Kerry Goldberg.
Special correspondent Dr. David Scales reported that story. You can hear an expanded version on the Common Health blog at our website, wbur.org.